May we be helped to commence our worship of God in our morning service by singing together hymn 1073. To the tune Sardis 659. Holy Ghost, dispel our sadness, pierce the clouds of nature's night. Come, thou source of joy and gladness, breathe thy life and spread thy light. Come, thou best of all donations God can give, or we implore, having thy sweet consolations, we on earth can wish no more. Hymn 1073, tune Sardis 659.
From the Word of God we read Psalm 46 and Revelation chapter 22. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the seas. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. We turn now to the closing chapter in the Word of God, Revelation chapter 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded a fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophet sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not. For I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. He said unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book. The time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, and to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely, I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, be with you all. Amen. May the Lord bless unto us his word and help us in prayer. Most holy, almighty and gracious Lord God, Father, Son and Holy Ghost, help us now to draw near in faith and to worship thee. With reverence, with respect, with sacred awe and holy love, help us to bow before thy feet. And crown thee Lord of all. Bless unto us thine own word we have read, and make it the message of life unto our souls. Ye thank thee, Lord, for thy mercies, for thy kindnesses, for thy compassion, which bring us in safety into thy house this day, safely through another week of time. And we thank thee for all that thou dost for us in this life here below, for our health and strength, for our homes, families, careers, possessions, faculties, the measures of comfort and the peace and the freedoms we all enjoy. We thank thee, Lord, for the precious blood and holy righteous life of Jesus Christ, for that way of salvation, that there is a way whereby sinners may come to God and not be destroyed, but be welcomed, received, pardoned, loved. May we know what the hymn writer wrote: ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, who like these praise should sing. May, Lord, we be enabled to praise thee this day in that assurance of faith, and give thanks to thee as the God of our salvation for all that thou hast done. Thank thee for thy precious word and gospel, for thy throne always open for us to draw near and bring any need before thee, great or small, at any time. We thank thee, Lord, for the house of God here and many others like it throughout our land, and for that freedom and liberty to worship thee without threat of persecution. We ask thee to draw near this day and grant us thy blessing, help and aid. Speak unto us through thy precious word, we ask. Open our hearts to receive thy word. May thy word take root and may it bear fruit in our lives in time to come. May it influence us. May it guide us. May it direct us, may it inspire us, may it constrain and restrain, may it teach and warn us, encourage, rebuke us. Bless, Lord, this house of prayer. We commend them to Thee. Bless each present here today and those who are listening online in their own homes. Remember them also. Lord, bless each of them in their daily lives, in the various different concerns and needs and pathways. May Thy presence be known in each pathway. Supply their every need. Bear their every burden. Relieve every care. Bless and feed each soul. Appear for them in life's journey. Open doors for them and guide them. Bless the ministry of Thy word here, service by service. As Thy servants come into this pulpit week by week, help them, direct them, and bless them. Help them to proclaim a precious Christ to poor sinners as their only hope for heaven. And help the congregation as they hear of Christ. And may their hearts go out to Thee with that desire to know Thee for themselves. Remember Thy servant gone forth to labour in Thy name from this people. Be with him today and help him in his pathway and ministry. And grant him safe journeys to and from Thy house. And bless Thy servants today as they preach Thy word throughout our land and in other corners of the world. And wherever, Lord, Thy people gather today, do draw near to each of them and do abundantly bless Thy word as it is preached in the whole world today. May, Lord, there be many who hear Thy word savingly today, whether for the first time or a renewal of what they've had before. May, Lord, there be those who are this day born as children of God and begin the way of faith. And may, Lord, there be those who grow in the faith, who grow in grace, in spiritual maturity. Bless, we pray, each member of this church. Help the deacon of this cause in his pathway. And supply his needs. And bless each member of the congregation. Go before them and help them in their lives. Bless the children, help them in the early days of life. Help them at school. Provide for their needs, protect them. In due time, give them a hunger and thirst after Thee, and may they seek Thee and find Thee for themselves. Give them, Lord, a love to Thy house and raise them up as Thy servants to continue in time to come. Bless those who are older in the midst of life with its burdens and scenes and cares. And grant that help, Lord, that strength that is needed, that wisdom, that discernment, that grace. And Lord, remember those in old age and weakness, and those drawing near to old age in the afternoon of life. Lord, supply their needs and be with them. And prepare us each for that day when we must tread the verge of Jordan. And when we tread the verge of Jordan, bid our anxious fears subside. Death of deaths and hell's destruction, land us safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises may we ever give to thee. May we be prepared for heaven, for eternity, that time which will never end, which we must spend either with thee in heaven or with the devil in hell. Most gracious Saviour, may we know thee for our own in that day. May we know thee for our own today. And gracious Saviour, never leave us while our toils and conflicts last. To thy kind embrace receive us when the toils of life are past. Bless our nation. Remember our rulers, the royal family, the government, the Prime Minister. Lord, open their eyes, teach them to pray for themselves. Bring them to see their need of thy salvation. Bring them to realize that there is a God in heaven. Bring them to know what we read in thy word, be still and know that I am God. Give them, Lord, that love to thee. Teach them to seek thee and find thee, and to lead this nation in the paths of righteousness and truth. Grant, Lord, that revival in this land. Fill the empty seats here and in countless of thy houses up and down this land with those who are given a hunger and a thirst after righteousness. Lord, visit this land with thy salvation and cause that returning to thee, the God we have so long forsaken. Break down the hardness and the indifference and the coldness, and bring into thy houses those who are now as far off from thee as sheep can be, but not too far for thee to save. And work, Lord, in the hearts of those who do attend thy houses of prayer. Work mightily this day, we ask. And at the end of the day, may we be able to say we've been with Jesus. And we've heard his voice. Do forgive our every sin. Lead us, Lord, to that fountain opened at Calvary. And give us faith to trust in thee alone. And may we know the peace that that blood brings. Peace with God forevermore. Help us now as we come to thy word. Bless it unto us, we ask. As we ask every mercy in the almighty and precious name of Jesus. And for his sake alone. Amen.
The notices for the opening week are that, God willing, Mr. Graham Cottenham will preach here on Tuesday evening and Mr. Edmund Bass next Lord's Day, both morning and evening. And the ordinance of the Lord's Supper will be observed next Lord's Day evening during the evening service. The collection taken during this month amounted to £1,017. The collection taken at our Thanksgiving service for the Bethesda Homes amounted to £140, and the monies received throughout the quarter for those in need amounted to £166.01. And we also received a quarterly donation from the Gospel Standard Aid Society to help this church in the sum of £600. We desire to acknowledge the Lord's mercies, his rich provision, and thank the friends for their willing giving. May we now be helped to continue our worship singing together hymn 1053 to the tune Divine Love 635. Love divine, O love excelling, joy of heaven, to earth come down, fixing us in me, thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation, comfort every sinking heart. Hymn 1053, tune Divine Love 635.
seeking the Lord's help, we turn to Psalm 46, verse 4. Psalm 46, verse 4. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. The psalmist begins by reminding us God is our refuge and strength, very present help in trouble. And we need perhaps sometimes to be reminded that simple fact is present tense, now. That's what is means, does it not? And the word of God here declares, when you need him most, God is your refuge and strength. Whether you know it or not, whether you feel it or not, that for those who are his people, for those who have tasted of this river, God is their eternal refuge and their eternal strength. Here's the secret of a Christian's endurance. We have many foes. Satan, a hostile world which does not like true biblical Christianity, because it is a light which shines and shows up where they're going wrong. But God is stronger than all the hatred of Satan and all the hatred of unbelievers. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And if ever you need a help, it is in trouble. A very present help. It seems to emphasize here God's presence. And that word very, it seems to suggest that he could not be more nearer to his people when they are in trouble. It doesn't always feel like it. And perhaps you might say, well, why then are they in trouble? In the world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. That's why. God has promised us one heaven, not two. And while we are on this earth, travelling to that heaven, we will know trouble of one kind or another. And we must expect it. God does not promise a trouble-free pathway. He promises his help and his presence and his strength to be given in that trouble. Therefore, says the psalmist, will not we fear. And May we be enabled to use the same language. Therefore will not we fear. We have no need to fear. If God is our refuge and strength and a very present help. Because we have all we need. Because God is almighty. If we do not have him, we have everything to fear. Those who do not know him, those who do not love him, those who never seek for that salvation which alone was found in Jesus Christ, they do have cause to fear. They are living without God and without hope in the world. They have to fend for themselves. They have to face death on their own. They have to face an unknown, angry God. And then eternal destruction. They have every reason to fear. But not the Lord's people. Therefore will not we fear. Though the earth be removed, he says, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters roar thereof and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. That is a very strong statement, is it not? Could you say that? If you literally saw that come to pass, one day it will come to pass. On the day of judgment, when time will end, and when the Lord Jesus Christ returns to judge the earth, this literally will be fulfilled. When the dead shall be raised from the dead, from the ground, and all who have lived will stand before him. Your need, friend, God is a refuge then. And if you have him as a refuge, even faced with that, you will know what it is to walk in the first part of verse 2. Therefore will not we fear. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. Here the psalmist gets a glimpse, doesn't he, of the waters on earth. Of a storm. Of a tempest. Of the roaring of the sea. Of the strength of the wind. And that will at times, in certain circumstances, bring trouble and fear, especially if you're out on it in a boat. And of course, if you look at it spiritually perhaps, or providentially, it can speak, can it not, of the troubles of life, which do come. And they do cause us to fear sometimes. They do cause us to be troubled. They do cause us to shake and tremble. But having got a glimpse of those waters, now in verse 4, he gets a glimpse of waters that are not troubled. That are not shaking, that are not swelling. A peaceful river flowing. There is a river. Another is, another present tense, flowing, even though the waters around him are troubling and roaring. It has not prevented this river from flowing. There is a river. And we read of that river in the book of the Revelation, when John got that glimpse of heaven itself. This river flows from God himself. This river is his heavenly love. You've been singing much this morning of his love. Love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth, come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. That is this river. And all the streams which this river makes up of, their source is the love of God. The compassion, the kindness, the goodwill of God to poor sinners. And that is an almighty river. It is an almighty love. And Satan cannot extinguish this river, believer, from flowing into your heart. The love of God in Christ is stronger. There is a river. It is a deep river. So deep that even eternity will never plumb the depths of it. It is a river we taste here on earth. But we'll know the fullness of it in heaven. The goodwill of God. It was the message of the angels at the Saviour's birth, was it not? Peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. It is amazing, is it not, that God Almighty should have in his heart goodwill toward poor sinners such as we. We who have shown him such ill will by how we have lived. And yet he shows goodwill. To his people. To those who he has come to save. There is a river. And one of the fruits of his love is that you will have a thirst for this river. If your soul is alive, it will be thirsty. Just as your body is thirsty because it is alive for natural water. And you can't survive long without natural water. So, if your soul is alive spiritually, you will thirst for spiritual water. That is in our text. And that is all that God is in the person of the Saviour Jesus Christ. He himself said, I am the bread and water of life. There is a river. Have you been favoured to drink of it? Have you been favoured to thirst? Perhaps yet you don't feel you've drank of it. But are you thirsting for it? Well, that's a start. Because not everybody thirsts for this river. Not everybody thirsts for pardon, for mercy, for forgiveness, for Jesus Christ. But the Lord's people do. Those who are going to heaven do. So if you have a thirst, a longing, a desire, a need that you feel cannot be satisfied, and if you have a natural thirst, it follows you about, does it not, no matter what you are doing, until you can have a drink. Then it subsides. So it is spiritually. You have a need for God. You have a need to know the love of God, to know the mercy of God, to know the forgiveness of sin. And you carry that about wherever you go, whatever you're doing, and you will continue to have that need until it is supplied. But to you, thirsty one, this morning we have in our text an encouraging word for you. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. There's pardon in this river for sin. And that is something we all need if we are to get to heaven. Sin is when we have disobeyed God. Sin is when we have done wrong. Sin is when we have broken the Ten Commandments, whether it be in action, whether it be in word, or whether it be in thought. And all of us, without exception, are sinners in God's sight. But as the hymn says, there are but few so in their own. But if God has made you to feel what it is to be a sinner, you'll thirst for this stream of pardon. Because one of the things he'll teach you is you cannot save yourself. We may pardon and forgive ourselves, but that's not the point. The point is, does God forgive us? That will be what will matter the moment after death, when we stand before the judgment seat of God and meet him face to face. It'll be his judgment that counts, not ours. How will you stand in that day? Will you be a pardoned sinner? Or will you be condemned? It may not worry you now, but it will then. I may have told you before of when I was called a few years ago to do jury service back home. And there was a man who we were called upon to try, who had been accused of a very serious crime, which if found guilty, the consequences were he would go to prison for a long time. And during that week-long trial, if you looked at him, he didn't seem to have a care in the world. He was arrogant, confident. He laughed sometimes. He didn't seem to be on trial. Why? Because I think he was perfectly convinced in his own mind he was going to get off. But it didn't matter what he thought. When the moment came for that verdict to be delivered in court, and it came back guilty. I have never seen a man change so quickly. He went from being carefree to literally, you could see a burden falling onto his shoulders. All the life, it seemed, went out of him. Why? Because he had been convicted. And he knew at that moment that the consequences for him were going to be serious and long-lasting. Friend, one day you and I will stand before the judgment seat of God. How will you stand? You will only stand in that day if you're in our text. The verdict of that court will either be guilty or not guilty. And the consequences of being found guilty in the court of God, we are told, is hell after death, eternal punishment, which doesn't bear thinking of, and yet it is a reality. And friend, it will be too late then to thirst after pardon. There's no pardon after death, only before. But there will be those who will be found not guilty. And they are the ones in our text. And how can that be? It is simply this. Jesus Christ was sent into the world to save sinners. And at Calvary's cross, when he went there to die, God Almighty transferred the sins from the account of those who come to him by faith, seeking for mercy and salvation through Jesus Christ, and transferred it to the account of his Son instead. And there upon that cross, Jesus Christ bore the almighty anger of God against those sins. And those for whom he bore it, they will never bear that anger because Jesus Christ bore it instead. That is how you and I can find forgiveness. That is how this river, these streams can flow into our hearts. And that is the only way God can find mercy and have mercy on a sinner is through the precious blood that Jesus Christ shed upon that cross. And that is the only way. We are told that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. All sin. It is a little word, all, but it's a big one too. It means that there is nothing that we can do but what the blood of Jesus is stronger and mightier to save. So then, come to God this morning in prayer. Take that word back to him, all sin. And ask him to show you that all your sins are forgiven. Ask him to give you this faith. To drink of this river. To know the gladness of our text. To know the peace that it will bring. The comfort that it will bring. If you are favoured to drink of the streams of pardon, accompanying them will be the stream of peace. The peace of God. What does it mean? It means that you no longer have a need to be afraid of God. It means you can be in his presence and not be destroyed or harmed in any way. It means that he will not rebuke you anymore for your sin or be angry with you for it. It means that he will bring you into what another psalmist says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. How far is the east from the west? Can you measure it? It's the universe, really, is it not? A vast distance apart. Two things can be said about it. First of all, the east and the west are as far apart from each other as it is possible to be. And the second thing is they never get closer together. That is what God promises to do when he forgives a sinner. He removes their sins as far from them and their account and from his own memory as it is possible to be, and it will never get any closer, they'll never return. And when God forgives, he forgets those sins. My sins and iniquities, he says, I will remember no more. They'll never come into his mind again. It's as if they never happened. That is the fullness of the pardon and the peace which flows from this river. That is the blessing of drinking of this forgiveness. Peace by his cross has Jesus made. The church's everlasting head, all hell and sin of his victory won with a shout to glory gone. That is the way that we can find peace. That is how God can be just and yet pardon the sinner. All sin will have to be dealt with, because that is God's nature. He won't just turn a blind eye to it. He either dealt with your sin at Calvary, or he'll deal with it in you forever after death. There is a river. And those who drink of this river, it's been dealt with forever, and Satan cannot resurrect it. Satan cannot, as it were, exhume your sins. Elsewhere we are told they are cast into the depths of the sea. Satan can't bring them back again from those depths. A full, eternal, irreversible release is given to that one who drinks of this stream, of this river. And if you've been favoured to drink of that river, then what a debt of love do you owe to the Saviour? That Saviour who came into the world, we are told, to save sinners. And we are told he came into the world to save the chiefest of sinners. That means the very worst sinner that ever lived. He came even to save them, and therefore none of us are excluded from asking for that forgiveness. And if you feel to be the worst, the chiefest this morning, then come as the chiefest. And he won't cast you out. He won't turn you away. He won't turn his back on you. He'll save you, he'll forgive you. That is the kindness and compassion of his heart. There is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. And then you will know, flowing from that, mercy on the one hand and grace on the other. Mercy is God not dealing with us as we deserve. Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. On the one hand, because of our sin, we deserve to be rejected by God. We deserve to be cast off. We deserve Him to turn His back on us. We deserve hell. And if we don't receive that, that's God having mercy. But on the other hand, if instead of giving us what we don't deserve, He gives us His love, His compassion, His peace, His forgiveness. If He loves us as His sons and as His daughters, if He draws near and guides and provides and protects us in life and leads us in that way to heaven, that is Him giving us grace. That is Him giving us what we do not deserve. Grace. It's been said that grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. It means all that God has to give a sinner has come because Christ Jesus has died and lived for that sinner. The other meaning of grace, which we should not forget, and if you go back to the original interpretation in the Greek or in the Hebrew, it means God's presence in our hearts and His influence in our lives. If we are saved believers, if we are real Christians, it means God is with us. And the fruit of Him being with us is that He will influence us. He will guide us. He will teach us. We are all influenced by people, are we not? That means we are guided to a lesser or greater extent by people, dependent on how great an influence they may have. If you are a real believer, God will influence how you are in life. And that means that there will be a change in how you live after you become a believer than what you were before you were a believer. There will be a change from that time when you were a total stranger to God to when you have become to know Him and to love Him and to serve Him and to follow Him. And for Him says, when I was to thee a stranger, wandering in forbidden ways, from the paths of sin and danger thou didst call me by thy grace. When God gives us the taste of this river and that stream of grace It will affect our life.
And there will be a change.
And it will affect us as time goes on, to a greater or lesser extent, dependent on how much grace God is pleased to give us. If there's no change, there's no salvation. Because grace is one of the fruits of salvation. It isn't salvation, but it is an evidence of salvation. There is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. The holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. And this river will never run dry. All other rivers will eventually, but not this one. It is inexhaustible. And it is there to supply all your need when you need it most. My God, says the apostle, shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. All your needs. It means everything. It encompasses all your life. And it encompasses eternity as well. What you need for that. All your need. And when you have exhausted your store, God always has more to give. He hasn't exhausted his. Blessed be his name. There is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, and the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. Margin reading, God shall help her when the morning appeareth. Child of God, the morning will appear. It won't always be night, you know. The morning will come, and it will be an eternal morning. And then in heaven, you will drink endless pleasures in the company of your God and Saviour, who has loved you with an everlasting love. May God bring us then by faith to drink of this river here on earth, and to drink it in all its fullness in heaven hereafter. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together hymn 1075, tune Eton, 784. Thou hidden love of God, whose height, whose depth unfathomed, no man knows. I see from far thy beauteous light, and inly sigh for thy repose. My heart is pained, nor can it be at rest till I find rest in thee. Hymn 1075, tune Eton, 784.
O Lord, hear and answer the prayer of our closing hymn. Draw us unto thee, we beg. Draw our hearts from earth away, and make them only hear thy call. Give us that faith to drink of those living streams. We thank thee, Lord, thy word declares that all that the Father giveth thee shall come to thee. And him that cometh to thee thou wilt in no wise cast out. Lord, give us then that grace to come just as we are with our sin, and find in thee all we can ever need. Dismiss us now with thy blessing. Be with us during the hours of this thy day. Gather us around thy word again this evening, and grant us thy presence near. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the communion of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, rest, rule and abide with us now and forever. Amen.